Good evening. Well, last time I was here, my English was bad. Now it's much worse. So I just do my best, and the rest is your responsibility. How grateful we are for Calvary Baptist Church. What a blessing to be here. We have had the honor to be your representatives for the Lord Jesus Christ and your wife for close to 25 years. That's a long time. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I know that you don't just give to missions, but you pray for missionaries. And what a blessing to do missions God's way. You know, there are many churches out there that they're trying to come with different ways of doing missions. And we have somehow they think they can improve to God's way of doing missions. We know that's not possible. And what we're doing here is this evening is very biblical. You know, you read the book of Acts at the beginning, how Paul and Barnabas are sent out of the church of Antioch. And then at the end of chapter 14, we're told that they came back to Antioch, the church got together, and then they share with them what God had done. And so that's exactly what we're doing. And for many years, I was part of a denomination where we gave to missions, but I was the pastor for 7 years, and we never had a missionary in our church, never. And we didn't know any needs. Once a year in the month of November, we got a list from the Foreign Mission Board saying. Gave us a list of missionaries to pray for, and we will plan a special program, and somebody will stand up and call a name we had never heard before, and most likely we will never hear that name again, and we will pray. And I'm ashamed to say that we prayed practically once a year for the missionaries, and that was really sad, even though we did give. But we know we need to do both. Don't just give, but also pray. Don't just pray, also give, right? And thank you so much. Well, let me, before I share a little bit of what God is doing in Uruguay, let me give you a little update about our family. I don't know, somebody said, you know, raising kids is like taking a walk in the park, Jurassic Park. So, let me tell you about our kids. We thank you so much. We you're part of our family, and you know that you pray. Of course, your missionaries cannot be out in the mission field if there are problems, family problems or problems with their kids. And so thank you for praying. Thank you for loving us. What a blessing. It was just recently our two youngest getting a package from Calvary Baptist Church. And that means a lot. That means a lot to them. They, all our kids, they have been so blessed by our churches like you that love missionary kids. Well, let me tell you, our oldest, Andrea, married a national, David. And David, it's a very talented, very gifted preacher, and in many areas. He took leadership, and they got married. They have two of the most beautiful kids you ever seen in your life. And so now they are raising support to go to Uruguay. Please pray for them. Him being a Uruguayan, he can only be here for 6 months, and pray that they will raise at least some support, and so they can get back to Uruguay. And Mark is a pastor in Simpsonville Baptist Church there, close to Greenville. And Mary also graduated from my Bible college there, Yanina, a beautiful girl, and no children yet. And Bethany married a missionary kid, John Briley. His parents are missionaries in Costa Rica, and they live up in Fort Dodge, Iowa. We had never heard of that place before. And so they have three beautiful boys. Just recently, we were able to take care of all our grandkids, five grandkids. We were for 24 hours, but it was like 5 minutes. under the water. No, it was so nice. What an experience. We never had that experience before to take care of all the grandkids. And anyway, they're looking also to the mission field in the future. So please continue to pray for them. And then David and Priscilla are at PCC. They are juniors. And so they're excited that they will actually, they're just finishing up, so they will be seniors in a matter of days. So thank you so much. Thank you for praying for us. Now let me show you, we're going to show you this presentation. And I pray that as you watch this presentation, that God will reward you. I know that you give, maybe some of you would give to missions, with sacrifice. And so this is fruit of your ministry. I just watched this presentation. Let me tell you, these people came to hear the gospel, came to know the Lord because you send us. So this is fruit of your ministry. So as you watch this presentation, I want you to think of Calvary Baptist Church down south.
We are the Perez family, serving in Uruguay since 1997. Welcome to Uruguay, a small country nestled in between two giants. It is a country rich in Spanish and Italian heritage, where Spanish is spoken, and the biggest source of income is the rich soil, cattle production, and tourism. Uruguay has very warm people, educated people, and a strong middle class. Because Uruguay is the most atheist country in South America, the people are very liberal in their views, with many Uruguayans suffering from depression. For years, Uruguay has been the least evangelized country in South America. But with God's help and your prayers and support for us, we want to see that fact changed. Welcome to our ministry in Colonia del Sacramento. Our goal is to lead people to Christ, disciple them, train leaders, and start churches. Our prayer and endeavor has been to make our ministry in Colonia a greenhouse. This is where a very strong church is established, and from there start new churches. God has given us a great team that is essential in our ministry. We are grateful for our past, but with great anticipation, we look forward to our future. Our goals are to continue leading people to Christ and train them. See missionaries sent out from our church in Colonia, like Pastor Gustavo and his family, who are going to start a church in Artigas, a city bordering Brazil, and David and Andrea Gonzalez, who have answered God's call in their lives to serve Him and will soon start raising support as missionaries to Uruguay. Continue strengthening our new ministry with Recovering Addicts, a group of about 40 men whose lives are being transformed with God's power. See more churches started in cities like Rosario, Carmelo, and Dolores. Thank you for being a part of our labor. Thank you for investing in these lives. Pray for us. Pray for the souls of Uruguayans. And pray that Uruguay may cease to be the least evangelized country in South America. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light.
Okay, well, please do not go without any doubts about the ministry there in Uruguay. We will be out there by our display table, and if you want to talk to me or to Ruth, we'll be more than glad. Well, I'm going to ask you at this moment if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. And would you please stand, since you're going to be sitting down for the next 2 hours? Just kidding. Don't walk out on me, please. Okay. We are in Acts, and we're going to read one verse. Okay, actually, we're going to read two verses, okay? We will read Acts 26, 18, and then we'll jump to Acts 28. So verse 18 and then verse 28. Okay, it says, Acts 26, 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we go to verse 28. This is a sad verse, and I'll share it with you in a minute. How this was of some encouragement to me at one point. He says, Acts 26, 28, he says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You may have a seat, please. The book of Acts, it's a tremendous chapter. First of all, two reasons. Number one, the Apostle Paul gives his personal testimony one more time of how he came to know the Lord. And I don't know about you, but to me, there's nothing more exciting than to hear about how somebody came to know salvation. And I know some people get all excited about soccer or a game, but what a blessing it is to hear about how somebody got saved. And but the second reason I think is important, this chapter, is that Paul receives very specific instructions as to what he was left here to do. And, I don't know if you ever had a job description, but if you ever had a job, you got a job description, right? Now, how many of you will agree with me that it could be quite a mess if you get a job and you don't know what you're supposed to do? And, it could be a big mess, right? And the apostles, as missionaries, there are many things that we get to do and we get to see. And the Apostle Paul, of course, he saw also many needs. And as missionaries, I know there are needs here as well. But let me tell you, you get to see some things. Missionaries, pray for your missionaries. Because it's very easy to lose focus and start doing some things that are important. And not do the most important thing that we were left here to do. And, sometimes as missionaries, we need to help with the hungry. We need to feed the hungry. And, I'm reminded of the year 2002, 2001, and 2002. Those were terrible years in Uruguay. Let me tell you, in our church, out of the whole church, one person had a permanent job. And brings to my mind one family. They had seven kids, and they would just go out hunting whatever they could so they could have a meal in their table. But I'm reminded specifically about this one girl that came, and she over there, you know, you clap, you don't ring the bell or you don't knock, but you clap. So this lady came and clapped, maybe a 22-year-old girl. And so I went out there, and she said, Mister, she called me. You know, I know that a lot of people come to ask for things and to help them in this difficult times. And you know, and I know you give them. Now, I'm here. I'm going to ask you. And I'm not here to ask you for anything for free. But, you know, so I want to work for this. But you know what? It says for the last 24 hours, my daughter has been asking me for a piece of bread, and I don't have a piece of bread. And all I want to go back and give her some bread, and so I can clean up with those leaves or whatever you want me. But I want to go back and give her some food. You know, that what a blessing it was to share with her the bread of life. And then we did give her something to take home to feed the little one. But, you know, sometimes we're there to provide people with food or shelter. And of course, as you heard, we have this big group of people getting out of drugs. What a mess. What a mess. It's, you know, your wife says, not that when we were there, arrived there 23 years ago. You know, drugs were not much available. Now they're all over because the same government, sells the drugs. And what a blessing, what a tragedy to see so many people. In fact, sometimes those men have been in drugs for 10, 15, 20 years. And before I came, I almost took a picture, but I just ended up feeling bad. But we have a man, a 67-year-old man there in the center. Then his son is also there, and his grandson. Three generations of people trying to get out of drugs. We see many needs, and those are real needs. And people are hurt, and they cry. However, let us not forget what our main responsibility is. And our main responsibility is to give those people the gospel. And you're familiar with the liberation theology, but he was born in Latin America and is very strong, especially in Central America, South America. Every pastor will have that book. The book was written in 1971 by Gustavo Gutierrez. And he says, A Theology of Liberation. And let me briefly tell you just one phrase that will condense what this is all about. He says that let the social needs of the people dictate the agenda of the church. Let the social needs of the people dictate the agenda of the church. What a tragedy. How sad that so many people, so many pastors, so many missionaries have adopted this crooked theology. And yes, of course, we do need to care for the poor and do whatever we can to feed them or to give them shelter. Our Lord gave us an example. You remember he fed over 5,000 people. He cared about their needs, and the Apostle Paul did. However, our main responsibility is to give the people the gospel. You need to pray for your missionaries. You know, it's very easy. I used to be kind of critical about this, but the more time I spend out there, the more I know it's very easy to start doing important things on the mission field. And or even here, or even as a church, start doing important things and forget the most important responsibility we have, and that is to share the good news of the gospel. The Bible continues to say, like in Matthew 16:26, he says, "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Jesus and the apostles care about the physical needs, but they stay focused and they kept on sharing the gospel. They kept telling people about how they could get saved. And our hearts will never be moved, dear people. We will never be moved. Our hearts, we will never have a compassionate heart unless we see or understand the spiritual condition of the unsaved. And I want us to briefly look into that this evening. As we look here in Acts 26:18, let's stay there on that one verse. The point number one, unsaved people are blind. Unsaved people are blind. That's why it's important for us. There's a verse in Lamentations 3:51. It says, "My eyes affected my heart." If you cannot see people, if you do not see their spiritual need, their misery, because of their sin, because they have not been saved, we will never have compassion on them. And they are blind. He says, look at verse 18. He says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." Unsaved people are blind. Look at them. Look at how unstable they are. If you looked at 2,000 years ago and blind people, the roads were not level, and there were rocks and sticks all over, and they will go out and they will always be hurting and bleeding. Look around our society, maybe even our own families. Look at how they are, what a mess. Look at how unstable they are. I'm reminded, even as my own family, as one of my sisters, I remember my mom is, and please pray for my dad and my mom. My mom is 90, my dad is 95, my mom 90. And by my mom, she continues to be very expressive. But I remember as a teenager, my mom going, I said, telling my sister, "Oh, Olivia, why are you going to do that again? You just messed up not long ago. And look at, you're walking already into another mess. When are you going to learn?" Oh, there are so many Olivias around, aren't they? All messed up. And so many families, and so many couples, and so many individuals. They're just, as soon as they bump, and they're not even healed, and they're already walking into another mess. And what a sad, and our hearts need to have compassion on them. And Psalms 4:19, it says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They not know what they shall stumble." So they are blind. And sometimes, sometimes they're blind by their religion. Their religion. Our religion is great on blinding the unsaved. I remember when I was a teenager going to Mexico City, and my sister took me to what is called the Virgin of Guadalupe Church. And I remember looking at all these people were walking, but they walked in such a strange way. They were going like this, kneeling down, and they had their rosary and saying their prayers. And I was there, and I went and I looked at this. It was a long line of people walking in their knees, and I was like, "What are they doing?" And then I noticed, and there was a stream of blood, and these people, I went over there where the people were trying to get up, and you can see their bones, and some of them were, there was blood all over the place, and I was told that some of those people had to go to the hospital. What a tragedy. How sad, because they thought that somehow that will get them close to God. You and I know that's not true. Can I just remind you that you and I were blind as well before we came to Christ? And praise God for that wonderful day that we came to know the Lord, that we got saved. And Well, you know, what a joy it is to see people be transformed by the gospel. He says, and to turn them from darkness to light. Unsaved people are in darkness, and when they get saved, they come out, they see the light. About 2 weeks ago, I was really moved by one of those guys at the rehab center. And he's been there for about a year. And he sent me a picture, a beautiful picture. And it was him. He said, Pastor, he says, this is the first meal I have with my family in 5 years. And he had not even, his family, they didn't even know where he was. But that's what God does, isn't it? What a blessing. I can tell you of a family, Jose and Alicia Villanueva. Ruth and I remember going, we were passing out literature, inviting people, and this was many years ago. And we came to this house, and they said, no, we don't want any of their literature. And I looked at the lady and said, she was giving it back to me. I said, would you please take it? Please take it. Save it. You will need it one day. He said, okay. Kept it. Well, about 6-7 months later, I was in a meeting, and they came and they said, there's this big tall guy out there looking for you. So I went out and I opened the door, and yeah, there's this guy, and he said, you remember me? I look at, you know, don't you live in such and such area? Yeah, that's. I said, you know, he says, when you came, my wife and I, we told you we didn't need any help. And you know what? My life is all messed up. My wife and I, we're already divorced. And this morning, he says, I was just about to do something crazy. And you know, then I remember that you left us that little booklet. I knew where my wife had put it. So I went and looked for it. And I got it and I read it. And it says that there's hope here. Would you please help me? I said, okay, listen, I'll be at your house in 10 minutes. And what a blessing it was to be there and lead him to Christ. And can I just say, this was many years ago. His son is one of our deacons now. What a blessing. You know, when I think of things like that, I think of this song. I'm not going to sing it because you will walk out. But it says, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. So number one, we said unsaved people are blind. But could it get worse than that? Of course, look at what God continues to say. Sadly, look at verse 18 again. It says to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. And he says what? And from the power of Satan unto God. So not only are unsaved people blind, but we're told that they are under the power of Satan. Not all of them at the same degree, but they are under the power of Satan. How else can you explain? How can you explain about somebody going and loading all these guns and going across the street and start shooting at those little boys and girls? That when we look at them, we say, oh, look at that, how cute. They're obviously under the power of Satan. What about those people that they go and put all this dynamite around their body, and they're trying to, the idea is to kill as many people as possible. Who is behind that? Satan. What about, you know, so many in Uruguay? I don't know about how it is here, but in Uruguay, as you saw in the presentation, so many people killing themselves. So many suicides. What a tragedy. How sad. In just the last 3 days, we heard some people that we know that I committed suicide. And I'm reminded of, you know, again, who is behind that? Satan. I remember this. One day I get this phone call, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and this lady said, are you from the church? I say, yes, I'm from the church. I'm the pastor. Oh, okay. Because, you know, somebody left me a little booklet. They put it under the door, and, you know, I was looking at it, and, you know, I don't believe none of this stuff. Because remember, Uruguay is very atheist, secular. He said, but you know what? I really think you might be able to help my husband. And he says, do you think you can visit him? I say, yes, of course. Give me your address. So she told me, well, okay. I say, I'll be there this week. No. He says, can you come today? I say, okay. I'll be there in half an hour. And so he said, okay, I'm not going to be here, but you could go and talk to him and see if you can bring him back to his senses. So I got there, and the man comes out and opens the door, and he has a rope in his hand. So I greeted him, and I say, so you have a horse? He says, no. Okay. You have a cow? No. I said, so what are you doing with that rope in your hand? He said, oh, I'm getting already. Then I'm going to go and hang myself. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. Hey, can we sit down and talk? Yeah, come in. Oh, dear people, I was there for at least 3 hours talking to him. Sometimes I felt like slapping him, hitting him, and sometimes hugging him, and all kinds of emotions. And I told him, you know, you've been listening to Satan all these years. And look, like, yes, I know your life is a mess, but that's what Satan does. And now he wants to take you with him for all eternity. He wants to take you to hell. And now, but I'm here. And let me show you God's word. And I will show him verse after verse. And challenge him to give his life to Christ. But he just refused to believe. I went home. I was heartbroken, and the next day at the 5 o'clock radio news in the morning, they say, there's such a place, there's a man at the bus stop hanging. What a tragedy. That's why the Psalms 53:1, it says, the fool saith in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt they are and have done abominable iniquity. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine upon them. How sad. What a tragedy. Unsaved people, we say they're blind. Unsaved people are under the power of Satan. And last, unsaved people are going to hell for all eternity. Let us go back to verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Do you realize that everybody, every person that you have met this week, every single one of them is either going to go to heaven or to hell for all eternity? I remember one time I was driving with this guy from church, and he cut wood as a business. And he would tell me, you know, hey, pastor, you show me a tree and I could tell you how much wood I could get out of it. Really? Yeah, I said, oh, about that one. He would call and say, so many f- feet of wood. I don't know whether he was the way of telling, he was telling me the truth. But you know, that stuck in my mind. And I say, this guy, he looked at the tree and he looked wood. And he, when we look at people, what do we see? What do we see? You know, I started out sharing about my kids, my family, and I'm totally convinced, dear people, that missions starts there. Missions starts with our own family. If we are not heartbroken, if we're not praying for the unsaved, for our relatives, we're making a big mistake. Who is going to reach out to them with the gospel? Should somebody else, unrelated to them, be more concerned for their soul than you? Oh, that has been our prayer, Ruth and I, even before our kids were born. Oh, I remember what a nightmare it was. I remember one day I said, oh God, what if I win all the kids from Colonia and teenagers, and what if I lose one of my kids? Oh God, please help me. Help us. We need to be heartbroken about the lost. But the Great Commission, it starts in our home with our relatives around us, in our community, in our city, and then to the ends of the world. How thankful we are to be, because we are here this evening because somebody cared for us. Somebody prayed for us. Maybe it was a grandmother, but somebody kept on praying. Somebody insisted. Somebody kept inviting us to church. We had a lady one time, he said, you know what? They had been inviting me to church for 1 year. Every week they would come over. Finally, I said, these guys are so persistent, so I'm going to go on. And she got saved. What a blessing. And you know, in our church, we always say, hey, as long as they leave this wide door, this wide open, we need to keep coming back. We need to keep coming. We need to keep praying for them. We need to keep insisting. I show you this verse in 28. It's a sad verse. Here the Apostle Paul gives the gospel to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, he says, verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul gave the gospel the very best way he could. And I'm sure he was with a praying heart. And King Agrippa almost got saved, but he did not, at least at this moment. How sad. But the point is, I remember when I read this, because I was being bothered by not just that one time about that 65-year-old man that went and hanged himself, but so many times that I have spoken to people, and then they obey Satan instead of obeying God. And emotionally, that's really hard and heavy. But then I was reminded through this verse, they say, hey, we just need to do our job. And yes, it does hurt. It is. There's much pain when people decide to obey Satan. But all God wants us to do is just do our job. How are you doing? When was the last time that you were heartbroken What was the last time that you even knelt down and said, God, save my uncle. God, please. Oh, how we need that kind of attitude. Spurgeon says, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap over hell of our own bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees, imploring them to repent and get saved. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled with the teeth of our exhortations, and let not one of them go unwarned and unprayed for. May God help us. Please pray for your missionaries. We get to see so many needs, and it's very easy to start doing very important things instead of the most important, giving people the gospel. Please pray for us. I pray that you are also, we're missionaries, and God has called us far away. But in many ways, you're also. God has called you. God has placed you here. And God could have taken you to heaven the day he saved you, but he left you here. For what? Because you also have a mission. What is that mission? To open our mouth and talk to people about the Lord. Don't just talk about sports. Don't just talk about the weather. Get into, hey, can I ask you, John, have you thought about where you're going to go when you die? Hey, why don't you come? Come to church. May God help us to be faithful. Pastor.